Hi, everybody. We have here Aaliyah Hutchins, a Canadian track star, two-time All-American, and really unbelievable internet personality with over 2 million followers across all her platforms. She's incredible. Such a great person. So charismatic and inspiring so many people at such a young age. We're really appreciative of you coming on here and being a part of this.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be on here, so I appreciate it.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, how about I start off? I want to get to know, you know, and let everybody here know a little bit about your upbringing in a way, and kind of talk about your childhood and the path it took for you to become such a great athlete in track. I mean, that's not easy. That's a lot of struggle, and especially in such a painful sport like track. You know, I in the time I've spent on the track and just running, you know, it's not an easy journey to kind of go through all those years. So what was your childhood like, and how was that whole journey, even the sacrifices, the tough times? What was that like for you?
Okay, that's a great question. So when I was younger, I started running track in the second grade, so I was seven. And it's because I wasn't good at any other sport. You know, we'd have like the little school like tryout days when you're really young, but I wasn't very good at anything. I was pretty uncoordinated. I was a little scrawny little thing, and I would always feel so discouraged because my dad loved playing sports, you know, and the people around me loved playing sports, but I could never make a team. And I remember it was the first track and field day in elementary school. And my teacher was like, "Oh, are you gonna try out?" And I remember saying, "I don't want to, like, I'm not gonna make the team. I don't think I'm gonna do it. I haven't made any of these other sports teams." And she was like, "Why don't you try out for like the 800, 1500? You know, the other kids, no one wants to run that long." And I was like, "I don't wanna run that long." But like, I didn't know much. I just knew that it was, you know, far. And yeah, she was like, "I think you should." And the 800 was the first thing I ever won, sports thing. It was the first time I felt that sense of accomplishment in sport. And I was hooked ever since. And, you know, it's really evolved from there, my love for the sport and the enjoyment. And I feel like I had just very great people around me growing up inspiring me and encouraging me. My grandparents, they're just outside the door here eating breakfast. My parents, and then, you know, the people I met along the way with my track teams and friends, and then now with content creation and the people that follow me from being a runner on social media and whatnot. And it's just, yeah, that's how it started when I was younger and how my childhood was.
So you did mention that you weren't that naturally talented at other sports. So what did your success in track boil down to? Like, did you find that you were naturally talented there, or was that, how did you become what you did? How did you do what you do?
Yeah, I felt like that natural talent in a sense, but also it was the drive of being like, well, this is like the one thing I'm good at, so I'm gonna just really stick to it. Okay. And literally run with it. But as I got older, you know, you get into high school, you realize, oh, I was the fastest in elementary school. I'm not necessarily the fastest in high school, let alone, you know, the province or state or the country and all those things. And there's levels to it. But the thing, so that was also a bit discouraging because I was like, I was the fastest in elementary school, but now I'm in high school. And the lesson that taught me was to just keep going. You're not always going to be the best. And that is perfectly fine. And I met incredible people on the way who taught me awesome lessons and allowed me to rise from there. So from grade 10 to 12, I feel like I something in me was sparked where I was getting kind of lazy. I was like going through that phase where I just want to hang out with friends. I didn't want to show up to practice. And my coach was just like, you know, you're talented, but if you, you know, don't want to show up, you don't want to be here, you don't have to be here. And I was like, huh? Mm-hmm. So ever since then, I didn't miss a practice like in high school, and my performance increased, and that's how I ended up, you know, being able to get a scholarship and all those things, and then cultivate like my own love from within, from this, for the sport, not just from people being like, oh, you're talented, like you should try harder. I was like, oh no, like I want to.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, so it seems almost like that was a critical, almost life-changing moment with your coach telling you you can take it or leave it, right?
Yeah, he was like, do you want to? And I was like, I think, yeah, like what? Yes. And so
yeah.
It was definitely
freedom of choice is an interesting thing like that. You know, when you force athletes through it, it actually might actually counteract. But in that case, it all worked out. Amazing. So one thing you did point to are the people that you surrounded yourself with. And what's interesting, so I was doing my research, you know, over the past week, and I realized, you know, we have a couple of mutual friends actually. So you know Taha Badi from Wake Forest.
I love Taha.
Yeah. And you know, and obviously, you know, Tony Sharp is a big yeah. legend here in Pickering. He's come in to speak to our guys at Admission Elite. But you know, how important, I mean obviously as you get to higher and higher levels of your sport, you get access to, you know, quote unquote more successful people when it comes to the sporting realm, or just, you know, what society defines as success. You get access to that. How important is it in your mind to surround yourself with the best people that you currently have access to? And how did you get to the point where you got access to maybe people that did incredible and inspiring things? I mean, what did it take for you to come from Pickering, Ontario, small town, a small city that we're all really familiar with, to, you know, get the opportunities that you did? That's because, you know, everybody always wants to surround themselves with the best, but you can't just jump to that. So what's your take on that? And how important is it to do the best you can with there?
Oh, I think that's an awesome question. So I'll try to break it down and articulate as best as possible so I can get all the points in. But I would say it's pretty important in a sense to find inspiration from those people, but you don't have to be, you know, directly correlated with them or in contact with them. It's always helpful if you can be. And then obviously I'll talk about, you know, ways that you can be in contact with those people. But if you're not, because for a long time I wasn't, it's like you can still take inspiration from them and not to feel discouraged if you can't get those one-on-ones with them, or you're not on that level in a sense of communication with them. But what I found was the more work that I put in and the more progress that I was showing on the track, and you know, the more recognition I was getting, like the attention from those people started to show.
Right.
But that just can happen to anybody. You know, you keep working and then you keep rising to different occasions and different levels, and then you realize, a lot of people say, like, what is it, like heroes to competitors. I don't say like competitors, you're competing against them, but I don't see it that way. But like,
yeah.
You know, somebody you really look up to, you could be, you know, racing against, yeah, or playing against, right? So you end up in the same spaces. And that's why, and I think a lot of the time I'll talk about with my friends or people in my life right now, like how people say you're like the five people that you're around most, or that kind of saying. I feel like, yeah, as you keep rising to the to different levels, you're surrounded with people from those levels in the,
yeah,
in the same way.
Yeah.
And nowadays we have social media and stuff where you can get in contact more like it accessibly. But I find that the most natural way is to like put in the work yourself and not worry about getting into contact with them, because it will happen. You know, it's just.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a match. Yeah. Doing your work and then it'll all come. And so in your upbringing, obviously your parents and your family are a big part of your life. Obviously, you know, your grandparents are right there. What were some of the defining lessons that your family has taught you from a young age that's helped you get to the point where you have and do the things that you have a lot of confidence, you have a lot of charisma, and you've achieved a lot. That takes a lot of courage, but, you know, I guess what I'm trying to get at is your family. What were the values and what do they do for you to be able to go out and try to get after the world, if that makes sense?
Yeah, it's an awesome question. I feel like I didn't realize this for so long because I was like, oh, you're just saying this because you're my parent. But I think every parent says this stuff and you should believe, or, you know, not every parent, I don't want to say, you know, people have different experiences, but most parents say these kinds of things and you're like, oh, come on. But my parents always, always told me that I could do anything. And sometimes I, for a period of time, I even had like resentment because I was like, they believed in me so much where I wasn't even prepared, where they could see my potential. And I was like, no, like this is too much. If say I would go to a race with my dad and he'd be like, you can beat these girls, you can beat your time, you can be the best. I'd be like, no, my calf hurts. Like, we got to go home, man. And he'd be like, no, what are you talking about? And I'd be like, oh, you just want me to do all these things and I don't want to, because I was really anxious and like nervous and didn't see that in myself. And now that I'm older and I've grown into that and I've matured, I'm like, oh my gosh, like I can do anything. I can do everything. And anybody that if you're watching this, you can. And it's not like just luck of the draw, because it's not like, you know, we didn't grow up with everything. It was like all these opportunities. And my parents, they immigrated from Guyana and Jamaica when they were younger. And they just instilled in me and my siblings to work hard. And that, yeah, like while we're doing that, we can do anything. And now I really believe it in myself. And now it's funny because I believe they believe in me so much, but I believe in myself even deeper because it's like a self thing. So anything that we didn't even talk about and they didn't like bring to my attention to, I don't know, see or recognize, I can find it in myself and I see it now too. And then they support me in that.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like you're really close with your family and they're a big part of your life.
Yeah.
That's really, that's amazing. I love that. Now, I don't know, this is an interesting question, but obviously you've got to go through your journey and you've made your, you know, you've done things well, and I'm sure you've made some mistakes. If you had to go and do this whole process again to the stage you're at, so I know everything happened for you. So I know everything, you know, obviously works out the way it does, but let's say that you weren't going to go back in time, but you had, I don't know, for some reason you had to redo this process again. What would be some things that you might do differently from, I guess, from your childhood to now that maybe, I guess, lessons learned. But yeah, if you had to go back and do your journey again and you had to change one thing, so you can't say it's not an option.
Okay.
Is there anything that comes to mind that you would do differently through your journey and process from childhood to teens to school to now doing what you're doing?
I know exactly what it is. So I would believe in myself earlier, because when I was a kid, I tell you, I was so anxious. The meet would be like on the Friday. I'm feeling sick from the Friday before. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't. And then things would go well. And that's since I was 7 years old. If I could just believe in myself before, you know, I would never change anything. And I'm really proud of where I'm at now, but I just know it would have been like, I don't know, accelerated or, but actually I know you're saying one thing I would have changed, but I'm going to say I wouldn't change anything, but that would have been the one thing. And that's like something I want to say to anybody watching this too, like believe in yourself now. Cause there were times where I was like, oh, I'm just not going to become anything. I'm not like, there were those times too, where and I'm depressed and sad and all those things. And, yeah, but the one thing I wish I could have changed was, and would have probably like deferred me from those places, like those negative places, was believing in myself more and like believing in my sense of self, like gaining a sense of self earlier and not always worrying about what other people are thinking and like the feelings of embarrassment, those things, if things don't work out. So yeah.
No, that's perfect. And then, obviously, you have big goals for your future.
Yes.
What do you think is going to be the defining factor in your future success? You know, because we're all struggling to do things perfectly now. What do you think are going to be some keys that you're going to need to carry with you to have your future success?
These are the things that I'm doing now, and it took me years to realize. I really only realized this, you know, within the past year, year and a half. But continue, if I continue this, I really believe in myself and that I can achieve anything. Mm-hmm. And this goes for anybody. So it's not just like a me thing, but being kind to myself, number one, off the bat, like be nice to yourself. Because yeah, you're gonna feel more deserving and want more for yourself if you're nice to yourself. The second is staying consistent, and this can be difficult. Like if you are in a slump, it usually connects to not being nice to yourself, how you can get into slumps sometimes. Been there so many times. But even when you are there, mm-hmm. and you're not feeling like it, like that consistency is so important to just get the things done that you need to get done. Even if it's just like one core thing that you're like, this is going to be the main thing that helps me to excel. Another thing is not looking too far in the future, but taking things step by step, day by day, second by second. And then I think the last thing that I really realize now is trying new things and like having fun, like, because, you know, when you've been doing a sport for years and years, like I've been doing track, it's been so nice to pick up tennis, which I did, because it really makes me realize, you know, the talent or the effort that I put in this thing for years. And then when you try something new, you're like, oh, I'm really bad at that. I should be thankful for what I'm good at.
Yeah.
And then I said that was the last thing. One more thing is like surrounding yourself with like positive people and being around people, but also being okay with being alone and being with yourself. Sorry I went on there, but yes.
No, that's great. I mean, one of the things that we've been thinking through is the importance of, and the courage to not be afraid to sometimes recycle your friends that aren't pushing you forward and are holding you back. I think that's something that especially high schoolers can think a little bit about, or there's loyalty, but there's also a time and a period when to recycle your friends. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, and if you've ever had to do that in your life to kind of go and move forward. Has that been a thing that you've dealt with?
Yes, definitely. And before, when I would think about those experiences or like, you know, separating from friends and all those things, it's like, oh, like I feel like especially when you're in high school and people aren't as mature, or even university sometimes, it's like, oh, well, or people stop liking each other, even though they're not friends, then it's like this resentment or these things. And none of that has to happen. Like if somebody's not meant to be in your life or you're not meant to be in their life and they're not helping you progress, it shouldn't be a, I'm better than you, or you're better than me, or they're better, this, and we don't like each other, and we're not friends anymore. And this, it's like, there's one life. We're all learning. We're all trying to progress, or, you know, I feel like people watching this are trying to progress. I know sometimes there are people that aren't, but that's what we all want in life. And if there are people that aren't allowing that, it's okay to let them go. And if somebody else from a different perspective feels like we are not the people to have in their life, so if somebody thinks that about me, yeah, I shouldn't hold that against them because I'm not meant to be in their life. Right. And that's okay, you know?
Yeah.
That
really answers the question well. And yeah, I think it's such a, people are so conflicted with loyalty and do I make the cut? You know,
I think the thing is with that is you can still be so kind to each other. Like there's so much love and goodness and kindness in the world. I know there's a lot of bad too, but like if you only look at that, you have this lack mindset. So you have to feel abundant and just be like, we can still like each other. We don't have to be in each other's lives. Maybe it's not, you know, right, meant to be, like, you know, but there's still, you know, civil understanding or positivity there, you know?
No, 100%. So, yeah. I think you're 100% right. So one thing I also learned, I think it was in one of your stories, but so the watch you wear when you run, what's it called?
A Garmin?
Yeah.
So, 245.
I have the 255, so I realize we're almost twins.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we ran a lot when we were at Indiana. Not a lot as in how much of you would have, but definitely for our sport, it is a big thing. And, you know, I started getting back into that type of training and stuff. And so I was wondering, because it'd be a waste for me to have you here and not get your running experience and your tip. I was wondering, do you have any basic fundamental running tips for me, who I've never had a track coach, okay, that you might be able to help me with specifically for, I mean, for short or long distances? Is there anything, like, if you were meeting me for the first time, what would be the first couple of things you would look at in my running form, technique, to help me run? I mean, I'm doing more long distance, but I'm open to any tips you have.
Awesome. Okay, number one thing I would say, so I'll go to form stuff after, but number one thing I'll say, because I see a lot of people starting the same way I started tennis, and before I was doing lessons, it was like so random, and I was thinking, oh, like I could get far with this, and I spent 6 months without lessons, learned nothing. And with track, it's like, or running, I'm seeing a lot of similar stuff. People aren't learning the fundamentals, but they're also not taking the time they need to. They want to just go out and run 10K. Yeah. That is so fun. You can get to 10K, hell yeah. But for example, when me and my teammates were working our way up to 10K and then, you know, like 75 minute runs, long runs, our coach starts us off with like, you know, 3 by 10 minutes. And we've been doing this our whole lives. Or like sometimes we start with like 5 minutes times whatever with a 2 minute break to start our seasons. And we work our way up from that. So we're never starting with just like the 10K, the 75 minutes, all that stuff. I'm not saying that you do this, but I'm just saying in general, because I don't know, but it will hurt your body. Mm-hmm. It will hurt it causes, you know, problems down the line from your hips, your feet up, like back and forth. And so it's important to start in moderation and start slow, start small. And it's just so important to have that base, that aerobic base, and also strengthening. I find that people will do the running without any strengthening. You don't have to be lifting crazy weights in the gym, but you know, calf raises, core, all those kinds of things are gonna really give you a sound foundation for the future. And when you increase, which, you know, will happen pretty quickly, the time goes by fast. And then what I'll say for form is looking at the way that you land when you run. You often have to record yourself or have someone else watch you. I would always tell people if they want to start running to even just go to a track team for a day, pay for, I don't know if there's a day session, but like, you know how you pay for a tennis lesson.
He's not going to take someone like me. I'm not good enough.
No. Come on. I know he would look at your form though.
Yeah. I'm joking. He would. He would definitely do it, but he's definitely intense about who he brings into his programs, for sure.
For sure. But I would say, yeah, having somebody just look at your form one time, and that will make such a huge difference. If they could even just tell you one time what you should look out for moving forward. Because even for me, like, it's so hard to see or feel what you're doing wrong till you see it or till somebody tells
you. For sure.
Yeah,
I definitely, I mean, so we would have what was called, like, basically it was hell months, okay, at Indiana. And it was, we would go right to the track, and like every day, literally every day, at one point we went to the track 3 months in a row, I believe, from at 5:20 a.m. And we were getting good times, but I mean, for our standard, but I definitely could feel like there's a lot of technical problems here. And it's actually really good that you mentioned that moderation buildup, because like that's a big thing for me. I feel like so inclined to like push more. And I came across this guy, he's on social media, called Iron Cowboy. I don't know if you know who he is, but he ran 50 Ironmans in 50 days. Yeah. And he said the biggest reason they can't achieve that is that they don't plan long term enough. And so they basically jumped and they get injured along the way. So
yeah, it's so true. It's okay to take time, you know, like that's what I would say most.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that was really good that you pointed to that there. So I'm going to move on here a little bit to beyond, because I know you have your track goals, but one thing that I found really cool about you is I do feel like you're trying to do beyond just, you know, your sport. And I can resonate with that. And I really appreciate people that take that path. Because I always make this joke that at the end of the day, we became unbelievable at hitting a fuzzy yellow tennis ball over a net inside some painted lines. And what is that really in the grand scheme of what we're trying to do and what we're doing? You know, does that matter? And so when I see a really successful athlete like you trying to make an impact beyond, you know, just running in a way, I love it. I love it. And I personally, on that day you came to film with us, I was telling Mauricio, because you were doing the video, I go, you know how much courage that takes and like boldness that requires to be willing to put yourself out there to do that, and you don't really know anyone there on your first day, you know? And a lot of people will actually make comments on that, but knowing that process a little bit in microscale with Mission Elite and seeing our guys have to do that and how uncomfortable some are and how difficult some find it, I was actually genuinely really impressed, and I'm impressed by anyone who does that. But what did the beginning of that journey look like for you, and how did you get through that? Because to be able to make the impact, like, you could have just been a runner in your quiet world and only ever impacted yourself, but you chose to go beyond that, and really you've worked to the point where in an instant, if you wanted to, you could impact hundreds of thousands of people. You're at that point now.
Yeah.
What did the beginning of that journey look like for you? What difficulties did you have to go through? Why was it so important for you to go beyond yourself?
Oh, I love this question. You're asking great questions. Okay. I feel like the beginning of it was very selfish, like, in a sense. It was like, and not in a bad way, but like in the sense of, you know, I'm making videos on TikTok for fun, and like, and I realized I could make an impact, but I'm saying it was selfish because I was scared to make that impact, but knowing that I could, not like I didn't want to, but I was afraid of what the people would think, that like, you know, the negative people out there and all that stuff, but it was taking away from what the people who wanted to hear from me, you know, would think, or like how that would impact them. And so I was thinking about myself and like any negativity and having to deal with negative comments and those kinds of things. And it was, that's like, you know, not if people don't want to deal with that's selfish, but for me, it felt like it, because I was like, I can do this. And I can do something more than just like lip syncing videos, like silly stuff, and helping other athletes to feel inspired to do more with their own platforms. And so when I started, this was, I feel like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago is when I really started getting into it, because I signed with my agency and they were like, we can do so much more, but you have to be willing to show your personality more, like just outside of running, you know, be yourself, you know, put your persona on the line, in a sense. You know, there's going to be negative comments, there's going to be this stuff, but you have to be willing, you know, if you want to make an impact, and, you know, and impact your own life at the same time, and to be, you know, doing more with your platform. And I was like, oh, I don't know. For when I signed with them, for the first, and they're so inspiring. I don't know if they will see this, but like Claudia, Sophie, Ben, like those are like my agents. They are so lovely, and they really care about me, and they take their sweet time with me, because it's been a long journey for me. But I didn't want to at the start. I didn't want to post motivational content, all that stuff. I thought people were gonna find it cheesy and like, random. And I am so thankful that I was able to take my time, get comfortable with it, and then, be able to share with other people because I see the impact that it makes. And even now, I have so much more work that I could do. Like I could be more interactive and responsive and all those things, and create more. But there, it's still those little things on the inside where it's like, ooh, or it feels cringy. But I know that that's something I can continue getting over, and that anybody can. So yeah.
And I feel like you have actually made gains in that area, right? From
Yes.
clearly from I mean you're so good at that, and you can get a first take even. It's unbelievable. But that was really impressive to me because I've seen the alternative, but I know it starts from somewhere. That's why I was so curious as to how it started for you.
Thank you.
So I'm wondering if there are some tips you can give to anybody else out there who wants to go beyond their skill set and impact, an impact in a way that really can transform and impact lives, if that makes sense. Do you have any tips?
Yeah, oh my goodness. If you feel like you're a good person and you have the right intentions and you have that positivity to you, please try, at least try to create and share that and go beyond the trends, the trendy stuff, or going for PR and brand deals. Those things will come. That's you don't even have to worry about that. I see people making videos, how to get PR, how to get branded, how to do this, how to do that. It's not even and those tips are great because I know some people do want them, but it starts even beneath that, where you just begin creating and you begin sharing your message, and if and over time it'll come across clearer and clearer. And if at the start it's not perfect, that is so fine. Don't stress about it. You just have to start and put your word out there, whatever you feel like that is, and you will attract the right people to view it and to help them, and then all those other things will come. Yeah.
It's been a process, and I'm sure you've had unbelievable opportunities, great moments, but I'm also sure you've had some difficult moments, criticism, comments, all this type of stuff that comes with what you're doing and the impact you're making. What are some of the things that this journey, I guess, what are some of the things that this journey has taught you, if that makes sense, along the way? Because it's so different from just going to the track and doing your thing, and when nobody's around, it's very public, and so what are the things that this whole process has taught you, and how have you grown?
I would say, like, once again, I've talked about sense of self before, but gaining that sense of self and knowing your purpose and knowing the kind of person you are and doing self work, it makes all of that melt away and become so much easier. Any of the criticism or negativity that can be, scary to face, because when you know yourself and your goals, what other people say, it doesn't matter in the same way. And you don't take it to heart, so you can push through and you just know what your purpose is. So I feel like that has been the most important thing. So now, when I first started posting those status videos, when I tell you the comments were like so funny, but also so negative, so crazy, it was like, well, honestly, and sometimes there's truth to some of those things. Like the form was bad. Maybe they didn't have to like,
It's actually
like.
really good for a starting point, but
Yeah. Oh, thank you. But it was like, it's like, well, as long as you don't give up, you won't fail. So if I just stopped posting after that and let it get to me, I would have always been as bad as I was then, So for anybody listening, just keep going, keep trying, know what you're trying to get after, and don't do it for anybody else. Because if I was trying to do, for example, that tennis video for the approval of others or to hear some praise, and then I got that, I would have quit. But if you're just doing things for yourself,
Right.
from within, you know, you'll always feel like you want to keep going. So I hope that you do if you're listening. So yeah.
Yeah, and really one of the cool things is that I feel like, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but this is actually like mental conditioning in a way, because to be the best in the world at anything, you're going to get a lot of criticism. You're going to have to do it in front of a lot of the public eye typically. And so I've actually seen, I've seen players in the NCAA. We do a lot of consulting. And no joke, there have been players that have been unbelievable. And the crowd, especially in the SEC or the Big Ten, is like can become pretty crazy and brutal and big. And I've actually seen players afraid say, no, let my teammate go in there. I don't want to deal with that. And obviously not that obviously, but that's kind of what they were saying in a way. And that's a big thing for people, believe it or not. I mean, the number one fear in America, they say, is public speaking. I don't know if that's true or not, but to go into the in the public eye and be judged and be criticism, I actually, in a way, think that every day you get a form of mental training like this. I don't know if you feel like this.
It, like, because there's so many things I could work on. I was just, you know, writing about it the other day. I say like and a lot, or, you know, I'll speak faster than I think, but I've been working on those things and articulating myself and realizing it's okay to take time. And not everyone's gonna like what you say, but you're not gonna like everybody too. And like all these, like, it's all okay. And then you think about how this is your one and only life, and it's your life, and it's fine. Like, obviously, if you're gonna be ignorant and just say whatever and do whatever, like, no. But if you're coming from, once again, like a good place, you know, your sense of self, I think that will come across more than anything. And yeah, it can be scary to, you know, put yourself out there or public speak and do those kinds of things. But at the end of the day, you get better at and better at it and better at it. Once again, if you just keep going, you can't fail and you'll keep getting better. And there will be bumps in the road, but you can always overcome them. Yeah.
And that kind of actually leads me on to my next question, because if you're afraid to kind of cross that journey, you don't reach your full potential. And that was kind of what I was wanting to kind of get to know a little bit better about you is, how would you feel if you didn't take the path you took? Because I feel like you've gotten to see how much impact you can make. And obviously you're going to be able to w make way more, and you'll likely make way more, 10 years down the line. But this is all like a creative expression for you in my mind. It's almost like art, putting this picture and inspirational story together to share with the world. If you're not willing to cross that public bridge, you really don't get to make your full potential in life. I mean, look, like the greatest people in the world who have changed this world, everybody knows about them, and so that means that they had to have crossed that bridge there. How important is creative expression in your life? Do you just find it through? Do you find it through videos? Do you find it through that? Or do you do art? Do you do, are there any other forms of creative expression? Or is this your main form of creative expression? And do you look at it like this? Do you view it that way? Do you view this as that?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so in terms of creative expression, this is not my main form, which is so funny. Like, when I started with social media, I feel like, and creating content, I feel like, yeah, that it wasn't the goal, like, for it to be what it is now, but I'm so thankful and I feel very lucky. But I feel like the other forms is, yeah, like my sport, and even I think of relationships in that sense where you're building. I love building. I love building Lego. I got some Lego here. I haven't been building as much, but stuff like that, like Lego, trying new things, like now, like with tennis and stuff. But I love music too, some different genres, like any genre, like hit me with it. I love like jazz, bossa nova, country. I don't like Hindi music, like anything. So I feel like just finding, maybe I should just say finding things that other people find creative too, and that they like, and trying those things, because there's so much to experience in life. And then it makes me feel like I just have so much more to bring to this platform, or to share through my experiences. But if I was only inside every day, you know, I was only running and I wanted to do more, but I just like said, I can't do anything else. And I don't want to. And I was so dialed in. Yeah, maybe I'll get really far on the track, but I feel like for me personally, I'm not saying this is for everybody, but my personal experience, I wouldn't be where I am now. And I would be behind in that sense, because it wouldn't feel natural to just not experience any other creativity outside of making content for track or just running track. So, right. Yeah.
And because when you go on, you like, there's a lot of creativity behind what you put out. Like, I think it's really cool and it's really neat. It's not just a bland, you know, video or share or whatever. So that's why I thought that was interesting. But kind of moving on here to the last sector, I'm wondering if you might be able to share, you've met so many cool and interesting people, obviously, to be able to do what you've done, whether that's track or outside. Is there a piece of advice, or let's say this, what's one of the greatest pieces of advice that you've ever been given by someone else that's impacted your life? It could be your mom, your father, your coach, your friends, maybe it could be someone you never even met. Is there anything that really sticks out as one of the greatest pieces of advice?
Oh my gosh, I feel like I have so many great pieces of advice in my mind. And I felt like you were going to ask this. I was thinking about it before, but I was like, oh, what's going to come up on the spot? But honestly, I would say, and this is actually a quote from a movie, Bleed for This. It's based on a true story, but it's not that simple. And then, so the interviewer is asking the fighter, you know, what's the greatest piece of advice? And he's, or like the worst piece of advice that you've heard or something. And he's like, that it's not that simple. And then she's like, what do you mean? And he's saying that people are saying that it's not that simple to be great, but it is that simple. And something about that really stuck. Like, if you want something enough, if you want to get to another level, if you want to experience more in life, if you want more happiness and to be more content or to spend more time with great people, we make it so complicated, but it's so simple. You know, just think about what you have to do. What is the next step? And take that next step. Don't think 10 years down the line. Don't think the worst possible outcome. It hasn't happened. Don't think the best possible outcome. It hasn't happened, but just take that step. It's so simple. So, yeah.
That's kind of a great analogy for running also. Yeah. You know, when you have 5 miles left to go or 10 miles left to go, just take the next step.
The next step. Yeah.
That's great. Okay, well, I'm going to move on to some rapid fire, to the rapid fire part of this. I think the fun part, some fun questions here that I put together. Okay, so, you know, you know, I'm just going to sprint off some good questions here and let's see, let's get to know you a little bit better. How about that?
Okay.
What was the last book you read?
The Secret.
Oh, by Rhonda Burns or whatever?
Yes, so good.
Okay, okay. So do you believe in law of attraction?
I do. Yes, 100%.
What's the one takeaway from that book that you'd like to quickly share?
Okay. I would say that trying to understand and remember that your thoughts, like what you're thinking, really impacts your life. Even like the music you listen to. If you're listening to sad music all day, you're going to feel sad. Remembering that what you're thinking and what you're picturing in your mind and what you're putting into your mind is going to change how you feel, how your body feels, and how you move in the world. So trying to become more aware of that is so beneficial and so helpful.
Okay. Really cool. If you could only go on one more vacation for the rest of your life, and it had to be outside of North America, which country would you go on vacation, or what, where would you go on vacation if you want to be more specific? Completely up to you.
Okay, I would want to go to Switzerland because my best friend from university, she's from Switzerland, and I also have another friend in Switzerland who plays tennis, and I've just always wanted to go because the scenery looks so beautiful. I would have some people that I know there, and I would just love to be in like the nature there. It just looks beautiful, stunning. So I would say that. Or, oh, you said one place, and this is rapid fire, or Brazil. I don't know. Sorry.
Okay. Those are cool places. What about if you could only see one more person live in concert ever again?
Can they be dead or alive?
Yes.
Okay, so I saw the ABBA hologram concert, but they weren't real, and I've seen it twice. So fun, so awesome. But I would love to see them perform live in person. So.
Cool. Okay. Do you believe in aliens?
Yes. Yeah. I don't know what people are imagining, but not like the emoji alien, but like aliens. Yeah.
Okay.
We can't be the only things out
here. Yeah. That makes sense. Did you watch the eclipse last night?
I guess yesterday? A little bit, but it was, we didn't have the full view where I'm at.
Okay. Are you a texter or a caller to your friends?
Caller.
Yeah.
Immediately. I don't like texting. There's like two people I like to text, or like, and I text everyone else. I'm just like, oh, let's give me a call.
Yeah. It's a lot less effort to just pick up the phone and call.
So
right?
You too. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
What's a piece of advice you'd like to leave everyone here with?
Give yourself a hug today. Actually, everybody watching right now, we're Heal YouTube, we're giving ourselves a hug.
Okay, I'll give myself a hug.
It's so important. Like, it's so, or not just giving yourself a hug, but being kind to yourself. That's probably my number one thing right now that's helped me to get through this. And everyone, I hope you're giving yourself hugs right now. So, yeah.
I haven't given myself a hug ever.
Oh, that's awesome. Let's go.
You just made me give my first hug.
Yes, everybody give yourself a hug.
That's hilarious. Yeah. To be, especially in track, right? Like, I had a lot of track friends when I was at Indiana. And I introduced you to one, Catherine. Yeah. But it's a lot of grind to be great, you know? And it's a lot of tough times, and there's a lot of pain involved. I mean, when you finish the run, you're like so out of breath. You're dealing with that, the lactic and all that pain. And there's a toughness required. Am I wrong? Do you feel like this too?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, for sure.
So how do you balance between the two? Because it's very interesting that's what you wanted to leave people with there. How do you balance between the two, that the toughness that's required to push through the pain to be great, and just the discipline of the day-to-day to, you know, I mean, to become fast, you don't just become fast, you know, there's a lot of process and a pushing of the limits. So I hope this is a clear enough of a question, but how would you balance between the toughness required and maybe even the softness? And do you think that's critical and important? How do you put those two together for you personally?
I feel like the softness, the kinder I am to myself, the tougher I've become. Because I was at a point, not saying everybody's been there, but where I was so hard on myself or so negative or just like, oh, that I wanted it so bad and like, you know, wanted to be faster and wanted to, and then I'm like breaking myself down. But now that I'm kinder to myself, I'm like, you can do everything. You can do anything. Like, we can do anything. And so when it's painful in a race or whatever, it's actually not even as painful anymore. Like last year when I competed, because of like the clarification in my mind, and I wasn't as anxious, and I was putting in the work in every day, just like so kindly, I don't know how to explain that. Just so effortlessly, it wasn't like a struggle. When I was racing, I was like, yeah, I prepared for this. I'm meant to do this. I know it's going to hurt a bit, but the more that it hurts, the faster I'm probably running, I'm doing great. And I was like, yeah, nice, like, good job, to, you know? So I feel like for me personally, I think this, you know, people argue differently, like be hard on yourself and those kinds of things. I don't know, I'll just be for myself though, so I'm good into all the theories and stuff, but being kinder to myself has definitely allowed me to be tougher. So.
Wow, yeah, that's a really good take and an interesting take. Aaliyah, thank you so much for joining us here. This was unbelievable. This was awesome. So much fun.
So much fun.
Yeah. And you know, we're big fans of yours, and however we can support your journey, we will. Oh, so
thanks so much.
Thank you for always being willing to be a part of us, and we view you that as that for sure. So you're always welcome here at Mission Elite, and yeah, just thank you so much. This is awesome.
Thank you. And I will see you guys at the courts sometime soon. And hopefully we can, yeah, create some more content and stuff. It's been awesome. Awesome. Thanks so much for having me on. And one thing before we leave, I want to ask you, what are three things that you're like most grateful for today, or like, yeah, thankful for today?
Yeah, I think for today, I'm really grateful for the opportunity to have a cold shower this morning. I'm a big cold shower type of guy. I think that always sets my day off right. I'm grateful for the opportunity to have access to not just nature to work out, but also a gym and a weight room. I mean, you know, a lot of people around the world, these are luxuries if you really think about it. Like what you think as basic, you know, oh, everybody goes to the gym and everybody has a shower. Like, it's not always I spent a lot of time when I was on tour in third world countries, and I know for a fact that's not always the case. And so I'm grateful for those two things. And lastly, I'm really grateful for the opportunity to be able to speak to you and get your experience on the world. You know, I think not everybody gets that. And so, you know, I'm really happy that I got to learn from you today, and there's so much to learn. And then that we got to share it together to a bunch of other people.
Oh, thank you. That's awesome. Love those things.
So. Thanks so much, Aaliyah.
Oh, thanks so much. See you soon. All right. Bye. And thanks, everybody, for watching. See ya. Bye.
Thanks, guys.